Well, we are thankful to be here today. Thankful for the Lord. I'm thankful for a God who I can have such confidence in that I know that if I trust in Him, that when the race is complete, I will know that He has been faithful and He has brought me home. So I thank the Lord for that this morning. Let's bow our heads and pray. Dear Lord, we thank You for this moment. We thank You for Your goodness to us today in our service. We thank You for how You fed our souls all through this service, dear God. Blessed our souls. Now, Lord, as we open Your Word, we ask that Your Spirit would guide and direct in everything that is said and done. It's not us, but You, Lord, that needs to speak. And, Lord, help us to receive what You have for us, Lord, and to be able to take to heart, take to our minds, take to our souls what You have for us this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I want to turn over in the second chapter of James. Lord, bless today. We need the Lord very greatly. That's the understatement of the day, the week, and the year. We need the Lord greatly today. So we ask for Your prayers. Ask for the Lord to be with us. James 2 and 14 says, "What doth it profit?" And that's a question I want you to carry as we go through our lesson today, and we think about several things, but specifically we have a very specific question here that James is wanting to get through to the people he's writing this letter to. And he says, "What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say..." And that's paramount here because it's part of the point. Some of the confusion about what James is saying comes from not recognizing him making a distinction here about those who say they have faith and those that have faith. And that's what this whole passage right here is about. It's not discounting faith and promoting works over faith, but it's making a clarification between those that say they have faith and those that truly have faith. All right? So he says, "What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and hath not works? Can faith save him?" Well, we know that the Bible talks about the importance of faith. So I think to think that James was discounting faith here would be to miss what he was saying. So I would like for you, and hopefully with the help of the Lord, we'll prove this through the message today. I feel like the Lord has proven this, but I want to start off by saying, I want you to understand and see that what James is saying here, if a man just says he hath faith, is that going to save him? Or is there something that would be seen out of the life of someone who truly has faith? We want to know, is there a work that faith does in us? Is there a work that we should see being done in us if we are truly living by faith? And is there a distinction between those two things? Yes, there is. We do not want to be people who just say we have faith. We want to be people who the work of faith is happening in because we truly have faith and we live by faith. So first off, let's just ask, is there a work that's important, that's being done in us, that should be seen in us? Is there a work? Who does it? And where does it happen? I want to bring out three different verses that I think will establish this, an answer to this, to start with. The first is in Philippians, the second chapter. Philippians 2 and 13 says, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and do of His good pleasure." So is there a work? Yes, God worketh in you. Who is it that does it? For it is God. So we could say God here in this verse does the work. And where is the work happening? It's happening in you, in us. So yes, there's a work. God does it, and it's in you. But we haven't completely answered the question, and we want it answered completely in fullness. So let's take 1 Thessalonians, the second chapter, and look there. 1 Thessalonians, the second chapter, And the 13th verse says, "For this cause also we thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." So in the last sentence we see, is there a work? Yes. Who does it? The word of God here is defined as part of what does the work in us. And where is the work? It's in you. All right, we're almost to the completeness of this, of the answer here. So let's look over in Ephesians, the second chapter. All right, and Ephesians 2, and we'll start with the 19th verse. It says, "Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundations of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, and whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, and whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit." So here we have, is there a work? Yes. When does it? It mentions the Spirit of God here. And where is the work? Again, it's in you. So if we want to answer this work completely, this question, is there a work? Yes. Who does it? Our Father, God, His Word, and His Holy Spirit work in you. Where? In you. So there is a work. It's done by the Holy Three. It's done inside of us. And if God is in the midst of a work, will there not be results? Will there not be evidence? Yes. So it's a work that manifests itself through us. All right. So what was James saying? He said there in the last part of that verse, if we look at it, 2 and 14 again, and we may refer back to that chapter. I should have warned you. You may want to keep that marked somehow. But he said, "Can faith save?" And that, again, is a question. That's a spot that a lot of people, I've heard different ones talk, ones struggle with this passage here in James. And some want to discount this book in a manner of speaking because of the way James speaks here. But let's look a little more at this. There's Ephesians, the second chapter. We're going to move back over there and look at some verses. But let's say as we move into this that faith that does not allow God to work, a faith that does not make space for God to work in us through His Holy Spirit, through His Word, is not a faith that saves. That faith will not save you. This is what James is trying to get through to them. You're saying you have faith, but you're preventing God from working in you. You are not living by faith. And if we're going to be saved, if we're going to be delivered, we've got to do more than say it. We've got to allow this work to happen inside of us. So let's look over in Ephesians, the second chapter now. And we'll go back up a little in that chapter and go to the 8th verse. It says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith." And as we read that passage, this is where some people, they have a struggle. But it's really just as plain as day. Grace itself takes that sentence and joins it with what James is saying. Because grace is not just something that hangs out in space. Grace is something that works in us. By definition, if we read what the word that's translated as grace here means, it means the presence of God shining into a life. Is there work? Yes. Where is it happening in us? Who's doing it? God. Shining into that life and the evidence of that being reflected out from that person. So there is the ability not just to have a work, but it's a work that is seen externally from the things God is doing in us. All right? So it says, "For by grace of your are you saved, and through faith, and that not of yourselves." So this "not of yourselves" part, I want to look at some verses about that. So this is a very important clarification. And this is where we can take some light and shed it on the struggles that some people have with understanding the fact that we're not saved by works, but yet there's a work going on in us. So it's not our works that save us. In 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, and once again, you may want to hold your spot there in Ephesians. We'll come back to it probably in here just a minute. 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter. And this is the chapter about love. Now, charity is the work of God in us. This passage is talking about something greater, something we don't possess, that we must have. All right? And so as he speaks here, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not charity. And I want you to see this. It's going to list works that could be done by a man. Things you could see a man doing or I could see myself doing, and not just a certain modesty I have or certain things, but things that look like the work of God. And this comes very close to the point. Today, what the Lord has given us is not just kind of brushing a surface, but I feel like the sword of the Lord is going, this is right where it is. Right to, and cutting aside anything that is not truly the work of God so that we can see clearly what His work is this morning. All right, so even though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I have become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. In effect, this is not what the work of God does. The work of God does not create a tinkling brass and a tinkling cymbal and a sounding brass, okay? Though I have the gift of prophecy, how would I have the gift of prophecy if God is not at work in me? But yet, listen to what it says. Though I have the gift of prophecy, understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. So those things that were just mentioned are not evidence that we're where we need to be. That the work of the Lord, they are not the evidence of God working in our lives. They may happen. God may use me in those ways, and He may give me a tongue of angels. He hasn't yet. He hasn't seen fit to do that. But He may do that. He may give to you the gift of prophecy. He may do that. But those things are not the evidence of the work of God in our life. Okay? Do I have all faith so I can remove mountains? That sounds like, how could it be that someone could do those things and not be where they need to be in the Lord? But it says it here, though I could remove mountains by faith and have not charity, I am nothing. All right? Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor. Well, maybe this is the work of the Lord, right? That I just give. The Lord, I cannot believe as a Christian that we will live our lives and not give to those in need. It is biblical truth that that should be happening somehow in our life. We should be giving to others. But yet, what does it say? Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profited me nothing. What is a man profited? What does it profit to have something you call faith, but yet it's not what? It's not truly faith. It's not truly the Lord working in you. This is not a place I want to be. The Lord doesn't want us to be there. He wants us to know clearly how to recognize Him working in us so that we can allow that work to happen so that He can do all these other things then through us. And that can mean something, because what needs to happen and what is most important is happening in our lives. All right? So we'll come back to some of this in a minute here. But I want to look at another verse to kind of back up what we're talking about here in Matthew, the 7th chapter. All right, Matthew 7 and verse 21. It says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom." The ability to say, "Lord, Lord," to Jesus is not proof that the necessary work is happening in our life for our salvation. All right? "But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name have done many wonderful works? Have we not done things that that are the evidence of you?" It says, "Then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Those works are not the evidence of God working in us. They're not the evidence of salvation. They're not the evidence that faith is working what it needs to do in our life. Okay? So, what is the work that saves us? And how do we know and recognize the work of God? Okay, well, let's repeat a couple of things we've already said. This work is inside of you. It's not found in what you're able to do out here. God may use what he does inside of you to lead you to do things out here. But the evidence, the work happens inside of us. And in there we find the evidence of God working in our lives. All right, so let's look back to 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter. Let's read a few more verses. Because after Paul said here what it is not, what God, what this charity does not do in our lives, he then says clearly what it does. And in saying what it does, it points us to where it's working and what he's working on. It points us to the work that we have to allow to happen in order to be saved. If we don't allow these things to happen in our life, I'm not one who stands up and says you're going to be lost. The Lord knows that. But what the Lord's given us this morning is pointing us to where the work happens, and that it's a necessary work, and that it will manifest itself out of us if we allow it to happen. And so it says here, charity suffereth long. We're going to read them all, but you know them. What do they talk about? Do they talk about things I'm able to do with my hands? Are they talking about something that takes something besides me to be able to work? It's something besides me. So therefore we see why it's not something that, it's not my works. It can't be my works because I can't do it. I can't take the patience I have and make it bigger. I don't have that ability. Let's look at what it says here. Suffereth long and is kind. Not just sometimes, but that's what it is. Oh, Lord, help me. I'm going to tell you, the Lord needs to work in me. He has worked in me. He has worked in this line and in this manner of my life, but he doesn't need to stop. You see, that's why he just doesn't need to stop, because this is my salvation. This work, I need it to keep on going in my life. It's what keeps me, the work of the Holy Spirit in my life. All right? So it says, charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseen, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. This is the work of the Lord. This is the work of the Holy Spirit. This is the work of faith in our lives. This is what it's looking to yield and where it's working. So now, I might end up doing a lot of things externally, and I will, because of these things, because of the God, love of God, because of His Spirit work in my life, you will see things manifested out. But it's from what He's doing in here. And when the Lord comes along and He puts His finger on these things, I can rest assured that this is the Lord doing His work. I don't want to refuse Him. There's no point in trying. We're not here to try to justify who we are as a Christian. If you spend your time justifying who you are as a Christian, most likely you are going to prevent the necessary work from doing what it needs to in your life, and you could get off track very quickly and very easily. Don't waste time. Don't worry about that. The Lord will defend you. The Lord will justify you. The Lord will take care of that. You let Him work. You let Him do these things. When He comes along and says, Brandon, you can insert your name. Brandon, you're getting a little built up. You need to humble yourself. Lord, there's nothing I can find there that disagrees with your word, that disagrees with you, with who you are. There's nothing I can find that disagrees with your spirit. Lord, this must be you. Lord, help me to humble myself. As strange as it seems for you to say that to me in this manner, I don't really even understand why I'm at fault. Just be honest. I mean, that's how, I don't know, maybe you're always like, yeah, that's me, truly in your heart. But I'm like, I don't really see how I'm at fault here, Lord. But yet this is you. This agrees. This is your work. And it's not just that you're trying to make me some humble person. You're trying to save me. You're trying to keep me. This is a whole nother level. This is when I become really willing to say, Lord, have mercy. And Peter said, not my hands. What did he say? No, he said, not my feet, but my hands, and all of me also. Lord, do your work in me. Lord, help us. This is the work that saves us. This is the work that delivers us. Your adherence to a doctrine is not proof of your salvation. But your refusal of a doctrine is not proof of your freedom. It's all found in here, and whether you're letting the Lord work in your life or not, that's where we're safe. That's where the Lord can deliver us. That's where the Lord can keep us. And He'll take care of all these things if we're giving Him this spot in our life and we're allowing Him to do this work. He will take care. If you cleanse the inside of the cup, He will take care of the outside. Yes. That's what that verse means, all right? Absolutely, you can rest assured in that. You know, I won't necessarily turn back to Matthew 7, but it said there in the 20th verse that you'll know them by their fruits. So what are the fruits of the Lord working in our life? We know them. Y'all, it's one of the most commonly quoted verses, but let's go to them and let's just read through them together, all right? Let's cement them in our mind. They're in Galatians, the 5th chapter. 5th chapter and the 22nd verse. But the fruit of the Spirit, y'all, the Lord cares about, don't misunderstand me, He cares about His Word and what it's saying. But this is what all His Word is working for. This is where it stems from. This is where He works to make sure it's actually manifested in our lives. This is where we don't get off track and take a scripture of God and grieve Him because we don't use it correctly. We use it in a way that, so what, but I used it right. Well, the text you said was right, and what you said it needed to do in our life was right, but the way you used it wasn't. And we're grieving the Lord. And maybe it's not even about how we used it against someone else. We used it that way against ourselves, very possibly. And the Lord's saying is grieving His heart because it's not doing what it needs to do. We need to start here and recognizing the need of His work in our life. It says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. I think that we read these scriptures. This is what Lord's put on my heart this morning. I'm going to share it with you like this. And I've read these and go, I need to see those born out of my life. But I don't know how much I spent time thinking about they're the evidence. They're where the Lord's working. They're evidence. They're put up there so we know our shortcomings, so we know where the Lord has to work, so we know what the Lord has to do in our life. The Lord, well, He's got to do this. He's got to do all these things. No. What He's got to do is these things in here. And if He truly does them, then all those things, it's like when we're like a rock, and if we let these things happen, we become like putty in His hands. He can do whatever He wants to. This is where we resist the Lord. If we're not doing something externally that we need to do, it's because we're not doing this. If we're doing this, then God, this right here is where we become putty in God's hands. And He can form us to whatever He needs to form us to. If somehow there's something externally that's not manifested in your life that needs to be, it's because you're not yielding to this right here. It's not because you just need to go do that thing. You go do that thing, you haven't fixed the problem. The problem stems from here. And if you let God work here, then He will manifest Himself in whatever needs to happen externally in your life. And I say that because people sometimes promote the external and saying, well, and it goes both ways. We can't just teach the internal because then they don't know what to do with the external. I'm not saying that there's no merit. But if somebody truly gives the internal and gives these things to God and lets Him work, then He will take care of the external. And if you're resisting something externally that God's wanting to do, you're resisting Him internally where His Spirit is trying to work in your life. That's what I want to make sure we understand, that's what the problem is. Yes, it truly is there. That is truly where the problem is in our life if we're having a struggle. This is where our victory is. This is where our freedom is. This is where our release is. This is where our salvation resides, is in this work of the Spirit by faith in our lives that we open up to the Lord, believing He can do it and believing that it is the work that's necessary that I might be saved. All right. A lot of verses come to mind, but let's stay with... Let's go back to James, the fourth chapter now, and let's read the rest of this passage here now that we've talked about that. So back to James 4, and the 14th verse, I'm sorry, I wrote that wrong. It was James 2, wasn't it? I've tried all morning to turn this into the fourth chapter of James, even when I was studying and reading and praying a little bit. And it's just not. It's the second chapter of James. So, second chapter of James, 14th verse. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and hath not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. This is where people have just tied this example, is what he was talking about. This was an example to understand the spiritual that he was talking about. If somebody's in need and you say, go be filled, your words said everything that you needed to say, right? But you didn't do it, but there was nothing done. Well, what did that profit anything? Nothing happened that needed to happen in order for that person to be filled. You just said words. That's not what faith is in our life. Faith is not just words. It carries with it the works that are necessary to do what's necessary in our life. So that was an example for us to get a hold of, to understand what God's trying to do in here in us. All right? Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yet a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Shew me thy faith without thy works, and I will shew thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? And it says in the 26th verse, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. There is a work. It is not you. It is not your hands. Because you can't reach to where this... If you could reach to where it was, I'm quite sure God would have told us, this is what you need to do, be saved, you go do it. And that's how you're going to be saved. But it's not possible. That's why it takes the Lord and His Holy Spirit, because it's in here. This is where the work is that's manifested out of us, all right? And so, if it's not our works, but it is God working on us to change us in these things. So the next time you're tempted and about patience, realize it's important. Realize God says you really shouldn't have behaved that way based on that. Next time you remember that you weren't quite, you felt a pull to something. You felt something inside of you and you just resisted it and you made it past it. Maybe you didn't go do it, don't think there's not something God's trying to do because you didn't do that thing. You understand what I'm saying? Sometimes we're like, oh, I made it through that again. Oh, okay. Whoo, I'm where I need to be. Well, thank God. Thank you for His protection. You don't want to go do that thing. But what was this? What was that that flared up in me that said, I want to go do that thing? That's not, the Spirit's trying to show me, look, we need to do a work. You need to let the Lord work in your life and show you, okay, why is it that I'm still having a pull towards that? Not that I'm not tempted. Y'all understand. We're going to face things. But there's temptation and there's being pulled towards something. There's when, you know, it's just like if the fish looks at the lure, well, it's there. It looks kind of good. But when you bite it, there's something pulling you. And sometimes the fish comes off the line and sometimes it doesn't. You know, sometimes you end up out of the water and sometimes you don't. All right? So, yes, we're tempted daily and that's going to happen. But there's pulls in us towards things that aren't right. We feel ourselves wanting to dance as close to that edge as possible sometimes. There's a problem. Why am I even wanting to dance close to the edge? Why is it? And I'm not saying where I've got to be in the pasture. That's not the issue. I'm still in the pasture. But why am I hanging so close to the fence? Well, because there's something in me that the Lord's trying to do and say, look, you need to let me work here. Get this out of your life. You want to have this desire that when you see danger, you turn from it. You don't walk as close to it and keep your eyes on it as long as you can, but you move away from it. The Lord is going to deal with us about things like that the rest of our life. And there can be this tendency to try to just say, well, I didn't do it. I'm good. I'm all. Well, thank God you didn't do it. But realize there's something God wants to do in your life, and He's showing you that you need a work inside of you, and let Him do that work, because you know what's on the other end of that? Joy and happiness and love and more of everything you want and need in life that you truly need that bring blessings into your life. That's what's waiting on the other side of that work for you. Ultimately, heaven's waiting on the other side of that work. That's the Lord trying to keep you safe in life. So let Him work in you. As it says, the rest of that in Ephesians, the second chapter. Let's read over there. Turn over there and finish that little reading. Ephesians 2 and 10 says, you know, it said, not of works, lest any man should boast. Well, it's talking about our works. And then it says in the 10th verse, for we are His workmanship. There is a work. It's God doing it in your life. All right. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. There is a work. It's in a place that only God can reach in your life. And it involves things that will manifest themselves externally, but they're down deep in your heart. Places you can't reach. It takes Him. Let Him do it. Recognize what those things are. Don't pass them over for the more obvious things. Because the more obvious things are directly linked to those things that we can't see down deep inside of us. You pray for me.